Hi everybody, I'm Terry Brown and this is Bass Fan Radio, and with me is a guy that's hotter than a $2 pistol, and that's JT Kenny. And JT, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, Harry. It's great to be here.
Well, I guess the first thing we need to talk about, Okeechobee was pretty good to you.
Oh yeah, it usually is pretty good to me, as a matter of fact.
Well, yeah, you had a couple of wins there now on the tour, and one at the FLW side and now on the BASS side. But this last one, I got to talk about the weight that you could have had versus the one you had. You won the tournament, you won it going away, but you had some mules on.
Oh, absolutely. It was the concentration of the biggest fish I've ever seen in my life, but they were in such thick, heavy hydrilla heights that it was just so tough to get them out of there. I mean, the first 2 days I was flipping them with 25-pound Berkeley Trilene big game monofilament, and I wasn't breaking any of them off. I just think that line was so heavy in that real thick grass that it would just kind of, the line would almost bind up in the grass with those big fish, and you just couldn't get them out. The last day I didn't get as many bites as I had been getting, but I switched to spider wire, and that really seemed like it would cut through that grass, and I was able to get the fish out a lot easier.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the difference between mono maybe and spider wire. You know, of course, there's not any stretch with spider wire, but what are some of the tendencies you saw when you'd set up with a fish with the spider wire versus you did with mono?
Well, with the mono, I mean, it has stretch, and when it would stretch, I think that would allow the fish also to get kind of up underneath even more of the grass, where the spider wire has no stretch at all. I mean, when you set up on one with that spider wire, I mean, he's, no matter how big he is, he's coming out of there, or at least you're getting headed in the right direction.
Well, you know, you talked about just the concentration of big fish and the idea, you know, whenever you win a tournament, it seems like one big fish or two big fish during the event will, you know, parlay into a victory. But you had a lot of big fish.
Yeah, like I said, it was amazing, and I only had 3 days to practice for that event, and it's something I've been doing a lot lately. It's not been practicing as much, and it really seems to be helping. But right at the end of the last day, about the last hour of practice, I'd been catching a lot of fish, but a lot of pound and a half, 2 pounders. I really hadn't caught anything, you know, really of any size. And I pulled into that area, and I made a couple of flips, and I got a bite, and it felt like a good fish. So I set up on it. It was about a 5 pounder, and I thought, well, finally, I caught a good one, you know. And then I made about 3 more flips and had another bite. It didn't feel like those little fish. You know, it was just kind of one solid dunk and just sat there. And I thought, man, that's probably a good one too. So I shook that one off, went a little bit further and had another bite like that. And by that time, it was, you know, I had to go. So, I mean, I had no idea that what I was on until I went back there the first day of the tournament. So it was kind of a nice surprise.
Well, you know, it's a once-of-a-lifetime thing. Dean Rojas a couple of years ago at Lake Tahoe had one of those days where he had over 100 pounds in a tournament. Had you landed your fish, you might have put a run at it.
Oh, I'll guarantee I would have, because the second day I had one that weighed 9.11, and I had another one that weighed about 8, and then I had 9 other. I didn't count. I was so frustrated, but my co-angler, my amateur partner, was counting. He said I lost 9 other fish that were, you know, that were just absolute giants.
They come up on top of the mat and wave bye-bye to you, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It was, well, some of them just, you know, just were under there that I didn't see, but I mean, they were great big fish. And then a couple of them we did see. I had one about, it was at least a 6 or 7 pounder that had got up on top of the mat and it got off, but the mat was so thick it couldn't fall back down through, and it was flopping up on top of the mat, and we're chasing it around with the net, and we couldn't get up to it because the hydrilla in the hyacinth was so thick. It was quite a catastrophe, and it ended up being bad too because it finally flopped back in. But this still didn't need it, but it sure would have been nice. Like I said, you know, you always hear fish stories and stuff, but I think I could have had 40 pounds of fine fish the second day easily.
Well, let's kind of go into the, you know, the depth underneath that hyacinth. You know, like in a lot of the areas within the country, we won't have that high, heavy matted hyacinth, but they may have coontail or you know, heavy bushes, some of that kind of stuff. Tell me a little bit, what kind of depth was under those hyacinths?
It was probably, my depth finder was reading about 3.2 in most of the area, so actual depth was probably about 5 feet, I would say, because, you know, when it's on the bottom of your trolling motor, you got to take into consideration how far down your trolling motor is under the water. So
not exceptionally deep, and the fish kind of moved up there maybe to get ready to start the spawn. Is that what you thought?
Well, I don't think they were real close to spawning, because none of them were, I mean, they were just big fish. None of them were real fat, you know, with big bellies, like looked like they were laden with eggs or anything. But they were definitely, see, the lake's up about 2 or 3 feet from normal pool right now. And normally this time of year, I was expecting to catch them on the outside edges of the grass, and that's just, you know, not where they were. A lot of the smaller fish were, and then I just, the last day, I started moving in, you know, flipping some heavier on Okeechobee is more of a, say, January, February type deal.
Well, as you look back at the event, you know, you had to be using heavy tackle. You talked about the line. What were the bait? What were some of the bait selections?
Every fish I caught came on the exact same bait. I was throwing an ounce and a quarter penetrator weight with a 3-inch Gambler black and blue crawdaddy.
And that was that new BB Cricket? Is that
exactly
the one you were using?
That bait,
that bait has got some great reputation. Billy Bowen from Florida, Ocala, I believe, is the kind of the guy that designed that bait. And what size hook were you using?
I was using a 3-aught straight shank extra strong hook, and I had one on the first day that bent that straight out. So,
man, what
I would like to have seen that one. But that you were talking about Billy Bowen. That's the color I was using. It's called Bowen Silver Shadow. It's a black and blue crawdaddy, but it has silver fleck in it.
Well, I think right now on Bass Fan, the Bass Fan store, you can get that bait, that very bait, and I think you're getting a little press out of that as well. But, you know, all you have to do is go into the bassfan.com and you can get that bait. But, you know, you think about it, all over the country, that bait has got to start making some waves. After you have this big win, people got to really start looking at what Gambler's doing there as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a couple of other off-brand, smaller, you know, crawdads like that, and it really seems like when you're flipping that heavy stuff, that small bait coupled with that big sinker, it almost looks kind of strange, but I think it makes a nice compact unit to get down into that stuff, you know, where it's not hanging up as much, and it's easier to get, you know, a small compact deal down into that real thick grass.
Well, you know, you've guided down at Okeechobee before, but you're actually from the north. You're a Yankee.
Yeah. Well, Maryland's actually south of Mason-Dixon line, so I'm not a full-fledged Yankee.
Well, you got to think, hey, I've been down there a couple times. I've won a couple big national tournaments. Maybe I ought to move to Florida again, huh?
Yeah, might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of the things when you have that kind of a hot streak going on one particular body. Now, you've got a couple events coming up.
Yeah, actually, I'm leaving Sunday for the last BASS Southern Open on Lake Eubala. So, and then hopefully if everything works out, then we got the Open Championship on Toledo Bend, 1st of December.
Man, you got to look for that to be some fun too.
Oh yeah, I did real good on Toledo Bend this spring in the BASS Tour event, so kind of suits my style of fishing, a lot of grass and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, you have to be, JT. You know, as usual, you know, you look at the way this tour is going, and the young guys just continue to make those marks. And you're one of those guys right now. People are going to have to respect when they come to Okeechobee, aren't they?
There was some stories on Bass Fan saying something like that. I don't want to get too big-headed feeling about it, but I'm pretty confident when I pull up to the boat ramp on Lake Okeechobee, that's for sure.
Well, as you mentioned, the lake is on a resurgence. You know, the water quality has gotten much better. It's higher. It's full. You know, a lot of the snowbirds from the northern part of the country go down and spend the winter down there. That's got to be just absolutely a thrill of a lifetime to get a fish that every day.
Oh, yeah. You know, I spent a couple of winters down there myself. I think that's where I got the good background from it. And it's really been, you know, it's quite a lake. It can be tough, too. I mean, I won a big open tournament down there a couple of years ago, you know, just a local open tournament. But there was about 100 boats in it. I won it with 12 pounds. So, I mean, when a cold front comes through, it can be pretty tough. And then you can turn around and, you know, 1 week later it'll warm up and you can have 5 fish for 30 pounds and get second or third. It's a neat lake. If you hit it on the right conditions, it can be really amazing.
Well, we appreciate you here at Bass Fan, JT, and wish you continued success in the future.
I really appreciate you guys at Bass Fan, too. You guys really helped my career out a lot, and hopefully I can keep that Energizer Batteries Evinrude Ranger boat near the top even more next year.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.